This is a sermon from the archives of the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Algona, Iowa. Our legacy project reminds you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.
Our first reading today comes from the book of Genesis. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And our gospel today comes from the book of John. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of God.
Let us pray. Lord, we have listened to your word, and we acknowledge that it is living word that has meaning for us in our lives today. Open now our ears and our hearts that we might hear and understand the message that you have for each one of us. For we come to you in the name of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many impossible things have you done today? Remember that line from the Queen of Hearts, and she tells Alice in Wonderland that she wants to do 5 impossible things before breakfast. But let's think about this a minute. This morning I put some water and oatmeal in a bowl, and I put it in a microwave for a minute, and I had my breakfast. I logged on to my email and heard from my daughter in California and my granddaughter in Phoenix. I walked around my house pain-free, or almost, on artificial knees. How about you? Did you make a phone call from your car or while you were at the store? Did you stop at an ATM to get some cash for this morning? Or did you go through a McDonald's drive-thru to get your breakfast? Even as short a time as 30 years ago, most of those things would have been impossible for most of us. And definitely were impossible to even imagine for the people of Jesus' time. Nicodemus struggles to understand what Jesus is talking about. To be born anew, born from above, born of the Spirit, makes no sense to his literal mind. How can these things be? It's impossible. And, you know, actually that's true. Believing in Jesus Christ, following Jesus, walking in his footsteps is impossible when we try to do it on our own. There are so many things that get in the way on this journey of faith that we're following. The world is increasingly complex with so many choices. It is getting more and more difficult, partly because I can't see well anymore, with trifocals, to go shopping. I might have a particular item I want, say, a certain kind of Cheerios. You know how many Cheerio kinds there are? And not only is it the name brand Cheerios, but then there's the other kind of Cheerios, and they get shuffled around, and you might see it, and you pick it up, and I get home, and it's the wrong kind. Does that happen to any of you? Grocery stores are extremely complicated anymore. There's so many possessions and things that we could have. Our TVs are full of ads. And so many options. A faithful walk with Jesus is not an easy one. We each struggle with the journey. That's why I always, enjoy is the wrong word. I'm always renewed during the time of Lent because it forces me to look again at where I am in the journey and how I'm doing. And how I've not asked for that help. We struggle. But over the years I have learned that it is in the struggle that one's faith grows. And the good news is we're not alone. Our scripture today contains one of the most famous Bible quotes. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. This Bible passage tells of God's love for each one of us, put into action in the giving of Jesus Christ through his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. Not because we earned it, not because we deserved it, but because God loves us. This morning I gave out a basket of candy. Not because you earned it. Not because you deserve it, although I think you do. But simply because I enjoy being here. One of the theologians of the early 1900s was once asked what was the most important theological statement. And he thought for a moment, and then he said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We are the beloved children of God. And this great love demands, entreats, entices, longs for a response. Now I want to go back to our first lesson for just a moment. From Genesis, the story of Abraham Abram, he was called yet then. Abram and Sarai were a nomadic people following the grasslands with their herds and tents and people. They'd already left the town of Ur in Babylon, which is present-day Iraq, and had settled in the area of Haran, which I think is present-day Iran. They'd moved that far. And then God comes to Abram. And Abram learns a hard lesson of faith. When God comes, change happens. Now, actually, life brings changes. You go to get a loved one up to come to the table and you find him dead in his chair. You go to work one day and get a pink slip in with your paycheck. You get up one morning and find that a major portion of your vision has disappeared. Change. Change happens. Change happens when we encounter the living spirit also. But it's a different kind of change. One of my favorite readings is by Elizabeth Bentenhausen. She writes, "There are hidden corners of my mind so out of sight that I don't worry about them, even when I clean up before company comes. Not even the most nosy, fastidious guest would check out those niches for dust or for the fluff balls which accumulate out of the thin air of day-to-day living. I live with this mess on the edges of my mind. Knowing it is possible on a rainy or procrastinating day, I'll get at it and straighten things up a little bit. But then, all of a sudden, quite out of my schedule, God comes bustling through, dust, rag, mop, Lysol, pail of water in hand, and scours and sweeps and shakes and rubs away at those hidden corners in my mind. And then, apparently, enthused with the results, God goes wild and soaks me down completely, using a tough-bristled brush, tossing pails of water on me to rinse me off, and hangs me up to dry, dangling me on a line with two tough clothespins. And hanging there, I'm like a smell of fresh sheets or fluffy towels blowing in the wind of a spring day in South Dakota when there's still snow in the corners of the garden. And then God comes back and unpins me and lets me loose again. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Change. Abram and Sarah encounter the living God, who said, "Leave your home, your country, your people, and go to a land I will show you. And God will go, and I will bless you." And Abram went. Did you hear that? Three little words. I love that verse. At the beginning of our Genesis passage in verse 1, it says, "The Lord said to Abraham, go. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house." And verse 4, "So Abram went." It's the most extraordinary Bible verse. Abram, later renamed Abraham by God, is lifted up as a model of faithfulness in the scriptures. There are very few recordings of Abraham's spoken words. His faithfulness is summed up in those three little words, "And Abram went." Now, we tend to think of beliefs as a set of words or rules. We believe in Jesus with our minds as an intellectual concept, or maybe in our hearts as a feeling, you know, warm, fuzzy. But instead, the Bible tells us that Abraham's faith is found in his actions. God said, go, and Abram went. Now, I want to tell you something, if you haven't realized it already. Our belief, our faith, shows. Our families, co-workers, neighbors, all see our faith and our beliefs every day, because it shines forth in our actions. Now, I hated to get to this part of the sermon. That's a very disquieting thought, isn't it? Actually, what I'm thinking is that it's a revolting development, but that's not very elegant. When I'm tired and grumpy at the end of the day, what part of my faith am I showing to those around me? What do your actions say about your beliefs? What we believe shows in what we do. You cannot separate belief from action. There's a wonderful hymn, ends with, "O Lord, to keep me, so that my words and actions become one, like Jesus Christ." Words and actions become one. Well, I want to go back to the good news of this lesson. We don't do it alone. We're called to be born anew, to be born of the Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every day, every hour, if needed. And especially at the end of the day when I'm tired and grumpy. The Spirit of the living Christ is within us, around us, in us, to set us free from our sins. The Spirit is present to help us grow in faithfulness and grow in our obedience. There was a church that would have a time of testimony as a part of worship. And the new pastor listened to many stories of being born again, 20 or 30 or 50 years ago. All very moving experiences. But finally, the pastor announced that the stories from that time on had to be new experiences only. How have you experienced the living Christ this week on this journey that we call faith? Saying yes to the presence of the Spirit is to say yes to the power and presence of God in our lives, even if it means change, and I can guarantee it will mean change. And we too are called to be a blessing to those around us. Called to be set free, called to grow in faithfulness, called to obedience, called to believe. There's a wonderful story of a missionary in a remote tribal area of Africa who wanted to give a Bible to the village chief. And the man said he would accept it on one condition, that he could use the pages as rolling paper for his cigarettes. Now, this didn't please the missionary too much, but with a heavy heart he agreed. But he also had a condition. He said that the chief had to read the page before he smoked it. A few years later, the missionary was giving a message at a conference, and there in the front row was his friend, the chief from the remote tribe. After the meeting, he hurried down to talk to his friend and said, "What happened? Why are you here?" "Well," said the chief, "I smoked all the pages from Genesis through Luke. But when I got to John 3:16, I stopped smoking. For God so loved the world that God gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life." Amen.
This broadcast is part of the Legacy Project of the First Congregational United Church of Christ of Algona, Iowa, where we continue to remind you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.